If you'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 1, the text is in the 15th verse. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The Apostle Paul had, he tells us in this first chapter, long wanted to go to Rome, but he hadn't been able to get there. He'd planned to go, he purposed to go, but he just hadn't been able to squeeze it in his schedule, as it were. And he's now planning to come, and he's writing to them in that reverence. We're not real sure about the chronology of the book of Romans, but we know that it took place before the latter part of the book of Acts, because Paul, if you remember, had been arrested while he was at Jerusalem, and in the process of that arrest, in order to not have to be judged by the Jews, he appealed to Caesar. And so the rulers said, you've appealed unto Caesar, you will go to Caesar. And any one of the rulers in the whole empire, Roman Empire, could at any time send an individual to Caesar. And Roman citizens had that privilege. Paul was a Roman citizen, and so he appealed to Caesar, and he went to Rome. But that was after he had written this letter. So we don't know the exact chronology, but we know that. So Paul is saying here, and this is before he gets there, so much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now let me mention another facet of this particular introduction that we're trying to make this morning. We often hear it said that this epistle was written to the church at Rome. That's not true. Paul wrote this epistle to the saints at Rome. There's a difference. We know for a fact that there were several churches. We don't know how many, but if you would go to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, you'll find that there was a church in this man, these people's house, and then it was another church. And so there were more than one church in Rome. So it's wrong to say that this epistle was written to the church at Rome. Wasn't that way at all. It was written to the saints at Rome. So I want to preach to you this morning on the theme of why Paul was ready to preach the gospel at Rome. Now, there are many things that he's stating here in this first part of the epistle and in this chapter. And he says in the 16th verse, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he goes on and talks about the righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel, and it's from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So why was it that Paul was ready to preach the gospel at Rome? Well, first of all, we would like to remember that he had experienced the power of the gospel. There is power in the gospel. Paul had been in total and complete error about who Jesus Christ was. And you'll recall before he was converted that he went about persecuting Christians, putting them to death, taking them to prison, and so on. Jesus Christ, he learned when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, was not dead and was not a false teacher, but he was the living Christ and he was alive in heaven. And this struck Paul down, and then it stood him up. It knocked him to the ground, and from the moment the Lord struck him down, Paul hit the ground, and ringing in his ears was the facts that Christ revealed, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting, and I am alive, and I am the Son of God. Just exactly who the Christian said he was. And Paul knew that instantly. There was no way around it. Here he is. He's confronted by the Lord Jesus in heaven. That means he is God. That means he's exactly who they said he was. And Paul knew it instantaneously. And let me tell you something. When Paul got up from the dirt, when he got his face out of the dirt, he was from then on spitting gospel grit because he knew that there was power in the gospel because Jesus Christ was alive. And that's the heart of the gospel. If you understand that Jesus is the Christ, you're a long way to being one that believes on Jesus Christ. John Donne put it like this: by these his thorns, give me his other crown. And as to other souls, I preach thy word. Let this my text, my sermon, to mine own, therefore, that he may raise, the Lord throws down. The Lord drove Saul to the ground by that blinding light, by that appearance, by identifying himself. And Paul experienced the power of the gospel. Note in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? Because it is the power of God. God works through the gospel like electricity runs through the wire. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached and that brings men to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel changed Paul from a persecutor to a slave. It changed him from a hater of Jesus to one that loved him. It brought him from being an enemy of Jesus Christ to being a preacher of Jesus Christ. And that's power. And that's the power of the gospel. It has that ability in it to change and revolutionize the lives of men and women. This is the power of the gospel. And that power never turned Paul loose. And it never turns anyone loose when it takes hold of him. When the gospel gets you in power, you're going to be under that power forever. So that was one of the reasons Paul wanted to preach the gospel at Rome. He had experienced the power of it. He knew it. Listen, when you walk up to an electric wire, somebody tells you that's hot, don't touch it. And you're bold enough to touch it, you're going to know the power. I had a man doing some wiring, a good friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, wired up my garage with three-phase power. And well, now, every electrician knows that the power comes in from the top. So I was working on that later. And I don't know how the mistake was made, but it was three-phase power. And let me tell you something, that's some major stuff. And so I had pulled the switch, and I touched one of those wires, and I'm here to tell you it hit me hard. And in my ignorance, I thought I must have had my hand higher up than what it was. And I touched it again. Well, by that time, even someone as limited as I am got the message that something wasn't right there. And I called Brother Lienhauser up and I said to him, I got shocked. And I told him to complain. He said, did I put that in wrong? I said, yes, you did. And I wasn't very happy about it. But let me tell you something. I know more about the power of that three-phase power now than I ever did about reading about it or being warned about it after I got a hold of it. It will make a believer out of you. That's what the power of the gospel can do. Secondly, Paul wanted to preach the gospel at Rome, and he was ready to do so because he believed the theology of the gospel. You know, it's one thing to talk about the gospel, and it's another thing to know what the gospel is. Paul knew what the gospel was. Christ did not die by accident. He did not merely fall into the cogs of political machinery, but Jesus Christ was crucified because this was the purpose and the plan of God for him in order for the Father to redeem his people from their sins. The shadow of the cross fell on the portals of glory before there was ever a star in space, before a single seraphim ever cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The shadow of the cross was there. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was blood all over heaven before Christ ever came to this world, because in the purpose and the plan of God, it was already settled. Christ was destined to this redemptive suffering that the Scripture had promised and predestinated from the very beginning. You'll remember in Genesis 3:15 that God, and I think it was the Lord Jesus that was speaking to Adam and Eve, he said, "The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head, but the serpent will bruise his heel." That is, Satan would bruise Christ's heel, but the Redeemer would bruise the head of the serpent. That was the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, primarily on the cross. Of course, it applied to everything that he did in his whole life, from his birth right on to his death. But it was principally majoring in his death. And so as a consequence, the Apostle Paul knew that. You look at Isaiah 53, you look at Daniel 9:26, Psalm 22, and you read about all these things that Christ had to suffer and that he had to die. That was all settled before he ever came into the world. Paul knew those scriptures, and he knew what they meant, and he knew that their Messiah was to come. The only problem was he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And when he got the theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ straight in his mind, then he was ready to preach the gospel at Rome or anywhere else. And so this is why Christ said in Luke 2:49, "How is it," speaking to his mother and his supposed father, "that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" He had that on his back. He had shouldered that before he ever left glory. He put that on his shoulder and he came with it. That was his Father's business. That was his business, and that's what he was doing in the world. And he knew it at 12 years of age. He already knew it. Jesus Christ then came into this world to die for his people in their place. And that's the theology of the cross of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ even knew the very names of those he was going to save? Turn with me in John chapter 10. John 10, verse 3. He's talking here about the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd. In verse 3, "To him," to the shepherd, the porter is the one who opens a door, "and the sheep hear his voice." And notice, "and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." And he goes on and talks about his sheep throughout that whole chapter. Christ died as the substitute for those he represented, and consequently, they go free. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. When an Old Testament animal was slain for the sin of a sinner, when that sinner confessed his sin on that animal's head, put his hands on its head, and cut its throat, the scripture says, and it shall be forgiven him. And I looked that up, and you can jot this down if you're interested, in Luke. And following there, there are 13 instances where it says, it shall be forgiven him. When he offers a sacrifice, it shall be forgiven him. I'm talking about the theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest news that a sinner can ever hear. That your sin are forgiven through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me emphasize something here. The gospel does not tell sinners how to save themselves. That's what a lot of people say. They say, oh, the gospel tells you how to save yourself. No, it doesn't. The gospel tells you and tells me how Christ saves the sinner. Big difference. Always remember that. Christ did not open a door in heaven so sinners can go in. That's another error. They say, oh, well, what Christ did, he opened the door there, and now you can go in if you want to. No, he didn't. I can prove it to you. Turn with me in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15, and we'll begin in verse 4. What man of you, this is our Lord speaking now, this is the great shepherd of the sheep, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99, he's got 100 sheep, but he loses one. One's lost in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it. Oh, where's this idea now? That he opened the door in heaven and you can go. Did you know that if that had been done, there wouldn't have been one sinner ever saved? Not one. What did Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, do? He went into the wilderness. That's this world. And what did he do? He finds that lost sheep. And what does he do? Now, sheep, if you can get home on your own, well and good. I've done all for you I'm going to do. No. Notice what he did. And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He picked that lamb up and put it on his shoulder. And he carried it home and said, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. That's the theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't just come and make a way. He come to get us, to pick us up, and to carry us to heaven. Otherwise, we'd have never got there. Paul told Philemon, he said, whatever Onesimus owes you, put it on my account. I'll pay it. That's what Jesus Christ said to the Father before he ever come into the world. He said, Father, take every one of them and all the debt they owe. Put it on my account. I'll pay it. That's the theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Christ was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ, in the gospel, stood in our place so that we might stand in his place. And because of that theology, Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. So I've got a burning message that I want to preach to you people, and I'm ready to preach it. In the third place, Paul recognized the breadth of the gospel. The gospel is not a very thin, narrow line. It is not a mere local legend. It is not something that's minuscule. The gospel has breadth to it. It has depth. It was commissioned by Christ himself to be preached in the whole world. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came, this is after the resurrection and his final appearance before the apostles, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What are they to do? Go you therefore and disciple all nations. You get that? All nations. All kinds of people. Not just Jews. Not just religious. But every class of individual. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the world. Therefore, every nation, every race, every clime, every tongue in the world is to hear the gospel. And that's the breadth of the gospel. And Paul knew that. And that's the reason he was ready to preach the gospel at Rome. He said, listen, this is no local thing that I'm preaching. I've got a message that we can preach in the capitals of the world. Didn't make a bit of difference who's there. Professors, just old farm boys, the wise, the ignorant, the poor, the rich. Doesn't make any difference. Preach it to them all. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul said to Festus and Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verse 22, having therefore, he said to them, obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing to small and great, both to small and great, saying none of the things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. This is the gospel. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentile. Paul said, I got a message here that fits everybody. It's for sinners. It doesn't make any difference where you came from or what nation you were of. It was sent to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, according to Acts 1:8. This is why Paul preached the gospel everywhere he went. And this is why he was ready to preach at Rome. This is why he wanted to preach in Spain. Did you know Paul had planned to go to Spain? We don't know if he got there or not, but he planned to go. Notice in Romans 15, verse 24, whensoever, now he's writing to these Romans, he's not been there yet, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. He mentions also, that is, he had his mind set to go to Spain. Why? Because he had a gospel he wanted to preach to them. Now the gospel was not limited to Paul's time and to Paul's clime, but it is a universal message for all time. Preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Consequently, Paul was compelled to preach the gospel. He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Now, in the fourth place, Paul knew, and this is why he was ready to preach the gospel at Rome also, that this was the only way men could be saved. This is so important. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And yet, no one can be saved without the gospel. You say, oh, but people can be good. And then they can be saved because they're good. No. There is none good. No, not one. Let me illustrate that. If you were hanging your whole weight on a chain, and that chain was about 20 feet long, and there you are hanging on that one chain. And I take my cutting torch and I burn one link in two. What happens? You fall. I don't have to burn two links. I don't have to burn 10 links. All I have to do is cut one in two and you fall. Every sinner is lost and he's fallen because one of the links of God's law has been broken. And we've broken all of them, not just one. Therefore, we are lost, and without the gospel of Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. You will never save yourself by what you do. You will never save yourself by what you know, and you will never save yourself by any particular thing that you do, like joining the church, or you may join a club. I was working in a plant one time, and I went into the restroom, and somebody had laid a tract there, and I picked that tract up and looked at it, and it was written by a woman. And she said, I woke up one morning, and I decided I was going to be a better person. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of women wake up that ought to have that plan and that notion that don't. But she went on to say, and I read the whole thing. She said, I just decided I was going to be better, and I was. But you know what? That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes to us as sinners, comes to us as we are, where we are, and says, here is how you can be saved. No individual can be saved without believing the gospel. Notice that he says in verse 16, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Some people want to stop right there. That isn't where it stopped. To everyone that believes. If an individual doesn't believe, he's not saved. He's not felt the power of the gospel. He doesn't know the theology of the gospel. It is in the gospel of Jesus Christ that the righteousness of God is revealed. That's the righteousness of Christ. Christ lived a perfect life, kept the law, and being God incarnate in the flesh, he can give that righteousness unto us, and that's what we need. He redeems us from our sins by washing us in his blood, and then he robes us in his righteousness so that we not only have our sins cleansed, but we've got a righteousness that will outshine the sun. It'll take us right into heaven. The gospel then is for the whole spectrum of humanity, and all of them are lost. And there's no other way for men to be saved than through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men are not saved by what they do for the Lord, but what the Lord does for them. That's the big difference between the gospel of Jesus Christ and so many of these gospels, which are nothing but false gospels. Men are not saved by good works. Men are not saved by the company they keep. Men are not saved because of their bloodline. I don't care if your father was a king or your mother was a queen. Men are not saved by the will of the flesh. John 1, 12 and 13. Men are saved by receiving Jesus Christ. That is, believing on Jesus Christ. That's the only way men are saved. Just this gospel. And that's the only way you can be saved. Everywhere in the Bible, salvation is tied to faith. No faith, no salvation. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, he was talking to the Jews, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. You shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that you must come to Jesus Christ and you must believe on Jesus Christ or you can't be saved. Men can be saved in no other way. Consequently, the Apostle Paul wanted to preach to Rome, to the saints at Rome, and to the lost at Rome. He didn't want to just preach to the saved at Rome. It's true, he did. He wanted to preach to them because we preach this same gospel to saved people that we preach to lost people. And it thrills the soul of those that's been saved because they say, you know, that's what happened to me. I know what he's talking about. He's ringing my bell. I hear that. I've experienced that. I believe that. I'm saved. The saints love to hear it. And it's the only hope for lost sinners as well. Well, in conclusion, why did Paul want to preach the gospel at Rome. He wanted to preach the gospel at Rome because he knew that was the only hope sinners had. He knew the theology of the gospel. He knew the situation that sinners were in, and he knew that the saints loved to hear the gospel. Let me ask you, do you know anything about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know the theology of the gospel? Do you know how God saves sinners? Do you understand the scope, the breadth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it reaches sinners no matter where they are? And every sinner that believes it is saved. Do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. And that's why Paul wanted to preach the gospel at Rome. May the Lord bless you.